You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the Analects of Confucius. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on the Analects of Confucius by Confucius and translated by Arthur Whaley. The Analects of Confucius. We're going old school on this one. Believed to be rocking it in the 5th or 6th century BCE, around the same time as Lao Tzu and Buddha, Confucius was super passionate about learning and developing himself into the best person he could be, according to the dictates of his classic society. The book can get a little funny as Confucius goes into how to live according to some ancient Chinese customs, but it's still packed with a lot of wisdom. And I think you'll appreciate the mining I've done for us and trust you'll enjoy this quick tour of the classic book. We'll start with the first big idea. Let there be no evil in your thoughts. Quote, the master said, if out of the 300 songs I had to take one phrase to cover all my teachings, I would say, let there be no evil in your thoughts. End quote. Nice. As it turns out, and as you know if you've read many of these notes, this theme is echoed across the literature. The first words of one of the core texts of Buddhism, the Dhammapada, you can see the notes on that, tells us the same thing. Quote, our life is shaped by our mind. We become what we think. Marcus Aurelius, you can see the notes on meditations. He advises us to watch how we're soaking our mind and says, quote, your mind will be like its habitual thoughts. For the soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. Soak it then in such trains of thought as, for example, where life is possible at all, a right life is possible. End quote. Shakespeare tells us that nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And Wayne Dyer tells us that when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. So how's your mind? Are you letting evil thoughts cruise around in there unchecked? Time to work on cleaning those gremlins out? All right, the next big idea is recognizing merit. The master said, the good man does not grieve that other people do not recognize his merits. His only anxiety is lest he should fail to recognize theirs. End quote. Love that. Where's your focus? Are you frustrated people aren't seeing your wonderful qualities? How about we shift that around a bit and only allow anxiety to arise if we fail to see the merits of others? Interestingly, my gut is that as we fully make that switch, others are a lot more likely to see our good qualities as well, huh? All right, the next big idea is practicing what you preach. Quote, Su Kung asked about the true gentleman. The master said, he does not preach what he practices till he has practiced what he preaches. End quote. Reminds me of Debbie Ford's great line in her great book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. You can see the notes on that. She says, quote, this is why I often say, attend your own lectures. End quote. So are you practicing what you preach? More specifically, what are you preaching that you haven't quite practiced fully yet? Let's check in on that and see if our preaching should really be pointed at the mirror for a while longer before we direct them at our loved ones, colleagues, etc. I don't know about you, but I tend to most impatiently teach that which I've yet to really master. And once I've really gotten it, I soften in my delivery. How about you? And ultimately, this all comes back to Wallace D. Wattles' brilliant point from The Science of Being Great. And you can see the notes on that. He says, the world needs demonstration more than it needs instruction. I love that. All right, the next big idea is doing the things that need to be done. Quote, the master said, he does not mind not being in office. All he minds about is whether he has qualities that entitle him to office. He does not mind failing to get recognition. He is too busy doing the things that entitle him to recognition. End quote. He says, he does not mind failing to get recognition. He is too busy doing the things that entitle him to recognition. I love that. Do you feel like you deserve more recognition in some aspect of your life? What might happen if you took that energy you're spending being upset or frustrated about not getting the recognition and simply did the things that would unquestionably entitle you to the recognition? My hunch is it'd be good. So I say we follow the master's mojo and focus our energy on what needs to be done. As we do that, let's think about the next big idea. I can always be certain of learning. Quote, the master said, in the presence of a good man, think all the time how you may learn to equal him. In the presence of a bad man, turn your gaze within. End quote. Love it. Confucius says it another way as well. He says, the master said, even when walking in a party of no more than three, I can always be certain of learning from those I am with. There will be good qualities that I can select for imitation and bad ones that will teach me what requires correction in myself. End quote. Isn't that a great approach? If we let it be, life is our classroom, rich with opportunities to expand our perspective and develop our consciousness. So, the next time we're in the company of someone who we find a little less than inspiring, rather than criticize or get irritated, let's see if we can see how we have those same qualities we find offensive in them, and do some work on correcting them within ourselves, shall we? And of course, let's see how we can develop those admirable qualities we find in others as well. That leads us to the next big idea, seeing our own faults. Quote, the master said, in vain I have looked for a single man capable of seeing his own faults and bringing the charge home against himself. End quote. Dope. Seneca tells us something similar in Letters from a Stoic, see the notes on that, where he says, be harsh with yourself at times. Of course, we don't need to go nutty on ourselves like that albino monk from the Da Vinci Code. Ooh, but we do need to take some time and notice where we might be falling a little short of our potential. Again, not with anger or shame or self-criticism, but with a compassionate view of how we might be able to improve ourselves and remove some bad habits. Eckhart Tolle describes it beautifully in The Power of Now, see the notes on that, where he says, once you realize that a certain kind of food makes you sick, would you carry on eating that food and keep asserting that it is okay to be sick? End quote. We've got to take a look at ourselves and see what we're doing that makes us sick so we can stop doing it. As everyone says, awareness of our flaws is the first step in correcting them. Back to Tolle. He also says, quote, it is certainly true that when you accept your resentment, moodiness, anger, and so on, you are no longer forced to act them out blindly, and you are less likely to project them onto others. But I wonder if you are not deceiving yourself. When you have been practicing acceptance for a while, as you have, there comes a point when you need to go on to the next stage, where those negative emotions are not created anymore. If you don't, your acceptance just becomes a mental label that allows your ego to continue to indulge in unhappiness, and so strengthen your separation from other people, your surroundings, your here and now. End quote. So, quiz time. What's one thing you're doing these days that just isn't serving you? Can you see how that fault just isn't cool, and that now might be a good time to swap out the less than rockin' behavior, thought, habit, whatever, with something constructive? Sweet. All right, the next big idea is Hamlet's in love of learning. Quote, the master said, in a Hamlet of 10 houses, you may be sure of finding someone quite as loyal and true to his word as I. But I doubt that you would find anyone with such a love of learning. End quote. For the record, the translator has a little note here to establish the fact that in this case, when he says learning, Confucius means self-improvement in the most general sense, not book learning. So I don't know how many times Confucius refers to the virtue of learning throughout this book, but it's a lot. It reminds me of Vernon Howard's wisdom from The Power of the Supermind. You can see the notes on that. He says, it is a mistake for anyone to think he has lived too long in his old, unsatisfactory ways to make the great change. If you switch on the light in a dark room, it makes no difference how long it was dark, because the light will still shine. Be teachable. That is the whole secret. Isn't that passage awesome? And note, be teachable. That is the whole secret. So, how passionate are you about your self-development and learning all the things you can about how to improve your life? Know that it was the virtue that Confucius seems to be most proud to possess. He says, quote, "Learn as if you were following someone whom you could not catch up to, as though it were someone you were frightened of losing," end quote. I just love that image. And a story Joseph Campbell used to tell comes to mind here as well. Campbell says, "Sri Ramakrishna said, 'Do not seek illumination unless you seek it as a man whose hair is on fire seeks a pond.'" Of course, the fact is we might get a little or a lot ridiculed for our passion for growth. But don't worry, that's been going on for 2,500 years. Epictetus tells us this, quote, "If you desire philosophy, prepare yourself from the beginning to be ridiculed, to expect that many will sneer at you and say, 'He has all at once returned to us as a philosopher.' And remember that if you abide in the same principles, these men who first ridiculed will afterward admire you. But if you shall have been overpowered by them, you will bring on yourself double ridicule," end quote. And Lao Tzu, see notes on the Tao Te Ching, reminds us, quote, "When superior people hear of the way, they carry it out with diligence. When middling people hear of the way, it sometimes seems to be there, sometimes not. When lesser people hear of the way, they ridicule it greatly. If they didn't laugh at it, it wouldn't be the way." So back to you. What are you most passionate about learning these days? And how committed are you? By the way, here's another perspective from Confucius on the same subject. He says, "The master said, 'Only one who bursts with eagerness do I instruct. Only one who bubbles with excitement do I enlighten. If I hold up one corner and a man cannot come back to me with the other three, I do not continue the lesson.'" End quote. All right, the next big idea is a great one. 50 years of study should do it. Quote, "The master said, 'Give me a few more years so that I may have spent a whole 50 in study. And I believe that after all, I should be fairly free from error.'" End quote. It's awesome how humble Confucius is about the time it takes to truly master his life. He says this as well. "At 15, I set my heart upon learning. At 30, I had planted my feet firm upon the ground. At 40, I no longer suffered from perplexities. At 50, I knew what were the biddings of heaven. At 60, I heard them with a docile ear. At 70, I could follow the dictates of my own heart. For what I desired no longer overstepped the boundaries of right." End quote. And he also says this, "One who will study for 3 years without thought of reward would be hard indeed to find." Vernon Howard puts it this way, quote, "Do not be impatient with your seemingly slow progress. Do not try to run faster than you presently can. If you are studying, reflecting, and trying, you are making progress, whether you are aware of it or not. A traveler walking the road in the darkness of night is still going forward. Someday, some way, everything will break open, like the natural unfolding of a rosebud." So, are you feeling a little impatient about growth in a certain area of your life? Confucius would probably advise us to chillax on the stress and just get back to doing the necessary work. Speaking of which, the next big idea, making a mound. Quote, "As in the case of making a mound, if, before the very last basketful, I stop, then I shall have stopped. As in the case of leveling the ground, if, though tipping only one basketful, I am going forward, then I shall be making progress," end quote. That's awesome. As they say, when you're climbing a mountain, it doesn't matter how many times you give up, as long as your feet keep on moving. Are your feet moving? Are you tipping another basketful? Good. All right, the next big idea, your commanding officer. Quote, "The three armies can be deprived of their commanding officer, but even a common man cannot be deprived of his purpose," end quote. Purpose, purpose, purpose. We talk about this one a lot, huh? It's Deepak's seventh spiritual law and his seven spiritual laws of success, and you can see the notes on that. In his words, he says, quote, "Everyone has a purpose in life, a unique gift or special talent to give to others. And when we blend this unique talent with service to others, we experience the ecstasy and exaltation of our own spirit, which is the ultimate goal of goals." Abraham Maslow likes to say, musicians must make music, artists must paint, poets must write, if they are to be ultimately at peace with themselves. What human beings can be, they must be. They must be true to their own nature. This need we may call self-actualization. Emerson says, nature arms each man with some faculty which enables him to do easily some feat impossible to any other, and thus makes him necessary to society. So, what's your purpose? I always love Gay Hendricks' answer to that question. You can see the notes on The Big Leap and Conscious Living. He says, my purpose was this, to expand in love and creativity every day, and to assist those who are interested to expand in their ability to be more loving and creative. The next big idea and final big idea, the way of the master. Quote, there is one single thread binding my way together. The way of the master consists in doing one's best. That is all. End quote. One of the main themes of Confucianism is becoming the ideal person, Chun Yu, who embodies virtue, which is very similar to the Greek concept of arete. As I've mentioned a few times in these notes, the classic Greek philosophers like Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle talk about the idea that the meaning of life is happiness. And if we want to consistently live with happiness, we need to live with what they call arete, a word that directly translates as virtue or excellence, but has a deeper meaning, something closer to striving to do your best moment to moment to moment. The fact is, when we're showing up fully, we feel good. As Don Miguel Ruiz says while describing the fourth of his four agreements, you can see the notes on that, there is just one more agreement, but it's the one that allows the other three to become deeply ingrained habits. The fourth agreement is about the action of the first three. Always do your best. He continues saying, under any circumstance, always do your best, no more, no less. But keep in mind that your best is never going to be the same from one moment to the next. Everything is alive and changing all the time. So your best will sometimes be high quality, and other times it will not be as good. End quote. Our best changes from day to day and even moment to moment. But how are you doing with it? As we embrace these big ideas, let's remember Confucius advising us, there is one single thread binding my way together. The way of the master consists in doing one's best. That is all. Well, there you go. There's a quick look at the Analects of Confucius. Let's take a quick glimpse at Confucius himself. We'll look at some of the notes I think you'll enjoy if you like this one, and then some quotes from the sidebar. First, Confucius. He's traditionally thought to be born on September 28th, 551 BC, and dying on 479 BC. He was a Chinese thinker and social philosopher whose teachings and philosophy have deeply influenced Chinese, Korean, Japanese, Taiwanese, and Vietnamese thought and life. His philosophy emphasized personal and governmental morality, correctness of social relationships, justice, and sincerity. These values gained prominence in China over other doctrines such as legalism or Taoism during the Han Dynasty. His teachings may be found in the Analects of Confucius, a collection of brief aphoristic fragments, which was compiled many years after his death. Modern historians do not believe that any specific documents can be said to have been written by Confucius. That's adapted from Wikipedia, where you can learn more. So if you like this note, I think you'll also like some other classics. How about the Tao Te Ching, the Bhagavad Gita, core of Hinduism, the Dhammapada, which is the core of Buddhism, and of course the Tao Te Ching is for Taoism. And I think you'll also enjoy the Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, the Enchiridion of Epictetus, Conscious Living and the Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, and the Power of Your Supermind by Vernon Howard. So, let's look at some quotes from the side. These are all from Confucius. I have never yet seen anyone whose desire to build up his moral power was as strong as sexual desire. Fair point, Confucius. All right, he continues, is goodness indeed so far away? If we really wanted goodness, we should find that it was at our very side. As to being a divine sage or even a good man, far be it from me to make any such claim. As for unwavering effort to learn and unflagging patience in teaching others, Those are merits that I do not hesitate to claim. The master said, to men who have risen at all above the middling sort, one may talk of things higher yet. But to men who are at all below the middling sort, it is useless to talk of things that are above them. The master said, a gentleman takes as much trouble to discover what is right as lesser men take to discover what will pay. For those who approve but do not carry out, who are stirred but do not change, I can do nothing at all. He who by reanimating the old can gain knowledge of the new is fit to be a teacher. And finally, the master said, who expects to be able to go out of a house except by the door? How is it then that no one follows this way of ours? So there you go, Confucius. Hope you enjoyed, and I look forward to sharing more with you soon. Have an awesome day.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.